This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves, gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com with no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery. It's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.
Off the ball breakfast.
It's easy to sit here and say my team and have it ripped apart. What about your team? Where's your team? Come on. At least I'm putting my head above the parapet here.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both monster people.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to look back on defeat from Munster in South Africa as they got down to the Stormers and the line-out issues rear their ugly heads again, and another big clash with the South African team to come on the horizon. Lot to discuss on the show today. Alan, Fiona, a pleasure as always to see you. How are you? How was your weeks?
Good, Rory. Good. Not a great Saturday watching Munster, but look, my own team that I coach, Bose, we had a good win up in Dublin, and a few of us sit down to watch the game up there after that. But look, overall, it was nice.
That balances out so for you.
That's all you really cared about, your own results. Yeah, it was a disappointing day. But by the way, Rory, you're growing the beard a bit. Are you going to dye it white and become Santa for Christmas?
Getting to that stage.
Is that the plan?
I have the belly, Quinny, so I have that all.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I can't see that or make comment on that, but the beard is just getting a bit of lint coming in the beard anyway.
It's just complete and utter laziness now from lack of shape.
Dye it white and sure you'll get a load, you'll make a load of money.
Make a fortune
Santa
for Claus.
Yeah, but no, all good. Yeah, disappointing results, obviously, particularly the manner of the results and the performance. I think the word frustration, we probably used that a couple of times in the last few weeks, and a little bit of that again at the weekend. You know, I think the game was there for the taking for Munster, and disappointing and frustrating, I think, to say the least.
Yeah, we'll get into that now in depth in just a little bit. First off, Fiona, you've the comments there. Plenty of comments, plenty of them talking about the lineouts, and a couple of people suggesting maybe Munster aren't too far away.
Yeah, I'll go straight into that. Thanks again for everyone sending in those comments. I'll come to you maybe on a couple as well, Quinny. We've Julie Gleeson, line out until it's fixed. We're in big trouble. Conor Horgan, is there an issue with Big Gav? Seems quite rightly upset at them managing these minutes. What's that all about? Any update on Adogbo and Killer? We can chat about that in a bit. Brian Fitzgerald, the squad looks weaker than it has done in a long time. They must be really hopeful the young lads coming through will cut the mustard. John Carroll, line out return of 57% is fairly shocking at this level. Stuttering set piece is having a huge impact, not to mind the injury list. The URC title glossed over a lot of cracks. Lisa Ryan, our line out is now a massive issue and needs to be sorted. Some pieces of open play have been lovely, and 2 weeks in a row, a forward pass decision affected the momentum. Our injury list is obviously another concern. 2 years in a row, we seem to have high volume of injuries. And you might have a chat on this as well, Quinny. Conor Coonan wrote, you might call me mad, but I really feel like they're not far off it. There isn't too many teams in rugby outside TLS and UBB who could deal with the amount of injuries we have right now. Just need to find a way to get a result this Saturday and use the next 4 weeks as a mini preseason.
It's a good point from Conor. In a sense, I don't think he's crazy to think that. I think obviously we'll go more in depth in certain things that happen in the game, i.e. the line out, two intercept tries, pass the ball into touch three times. Is it down to pressure or just forcing things a little bit or inaccuracies? A bit of all of the above, really. But decision-making from individual players as well, poor. So there's certain things they can fix for sure. The big concern is the line-out going forward. I think if you look at Munster's fixtures, and I've tried to kind of study, 2 years ago, we were in a situation where we won two out of our first seven games. We're kind of on song to kind of be somewhere around there again. We've two wins. We've lost against Leinster Stormers. This weekend is going to be really difficult to get a result. Then you've got the Lions at home. So it could be three from six, if assuming that you get a home win against the Lions, which is going to be very difficult in Tone Park as well. And then you're away to Ulster, home to Leinster. So they're tough games to get results in, particularly going to Belfast there. Of course, it's winnable. Yes, for sure. But the URC, in a sense, there's a couple of teams, and obviously in Europe as well, it's kind of like a Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal type scenario, where there's three or four, and there's probably one or two more that you could add into that, that are at a level that's above nearly everybody else. And then there's the rest, and there's a couple of tiers to that. So Munster in a tier, not at the top level, for, you know, and we know that because obviously you're judged by top level in Europe. So Connor's point of that they're not a million miles away. Well, if you get a number of players back from injuries and you can strengthen your bench with experience and quality, and you can rotate and you can keep guys fresh and all that kind of stuff, it makes a huge difference. And on paper, you know, if Munster get their strongest team out and a strong bench, they're well capable of going toe to toe with all of those top teams that I mentioned, the kind of the top level teams. But when you do that, like we said last week against Leinster, you've got to get a lot of the basic stuff really, really 100% right. Your line out, your set piece, your breakdown, take your chances when they're there and defend really well and frustrate the opposition. It's not rocket science, but it does come down to quality either. There's no kind of magic wand that fixes any sports team when they're playing poorly. It's about preparing, trying to fix those issues in training, and trying to stick together and show leadership. So there's question marks around a lot of things there for Munster, what they did at the weekend, and quite frustrating to the point that it just had that feel that if they were more patient and not shoving on passes and being a bit more accurate and made better decisions, and sorted their line-out problems out, which is not a quick fix solution either, they could have easily won that game. They were 21-19 down. Easily is the wrong word, sorry. Stormers were kind of on a... they've had a tough start as well themselves and been a bit disjointed. Very strong team, but I think Munster had a chance there on Saturday. When they come back to 21-19, you think that's the chance. 70 minutes, there's 10 minutes left. Manage the game well, get some territory, and you have a real chance here. And even when Damien Willems gets the penalty to stretch it to 5 points, 24-19, Munster with the two drop-offs, Billy Burns and then Jack Crowley. So they're both guilty of it, of two terrible mistakes there. And that's what's killing them, really, the basics and some poor decision-making. So is it fixable? A lot of that stuff is. And unfortunately, you have to learn harsh lessons by watching videos and seeing some of the uncharacteristic mistakes out of some players. And it's a pity, really, because, as I said, they did some really good stuff at times in that game, particularly in the first half. But, you know, the pass that Jack Crowley shipped on out the back, and Hatzenberg scores that first try. They're killers. They're killers. They're killers at home, but they're even worse when you're away from home. The Ruinell intercept at the end, you know, Munster are trying to go for something here and get something out of the game. But Connor's point is, and I would try and be a bit more glass half full in this situation, that if I asked you, Fiona or Rory or any of the listeners a couple of weeks ago, would you get a result against Leinster, the Stormers or the Sharks? It's kind of unlikely, no matter how you're playing and no matter who's available, because they're really tough games. And the URC, the competitiveness is increased dramatically in the last few years. There's no easy games now. So it's just frustrating when you kind of look at that Shark, that Stormers game and think there was possibly 5 points there. You know, Munster had scored 3 tries at that point, and that possibility was there. But through their own poor decision-making and poor play in those last 10 minutes, they just let the game slip away from them. And that's not to take anything away from the Stormers, because I think they lost lineouts as well themselves.
Yeah.
Not necessarily out of brilliant Munster defence, but poor inaccuracies as well. And some of the lineouts Munster lost were not out of Stormers' brilliant defence. It was really poor execution in the lifts, poor movement on the ground, poor calling to certain areas, and it's becoming a bit of a theme now. So they're making it so hard for themselves, and that's the frustrating part. But I look at the run post-Christmas, and I know no Munster fan or even the Munster players won't want to be kind of going, oh, it's going to get better post-Christmas. But you've got the Dragons away, which, again, they've improved a lot. Scarlets at home, Edinburgh at home. There's 3 games up to the end of February that they become must-win, and they're very winnable games. Then you're away to Glasgow, home to Connacht, home to the Bulls. So there's a run there right to the end that you think they can pick up a lot of points, but they're making it difficult for themselves.
This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves, gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com with no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery. It's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.
At the moment.
Fiona, let's dig a little bit deeper into those lineout issues and put your coaching hat on there. What did you see was going wrong at Munster's lineout on Saturday?
Yeah, I think Quinny was spot on in the fact that you can't blame any one area. You can't say, okay, look, the hooker's a bit off. Sometimes you might say, okay, look, it's overthrown, or, you know, the hooker has done things, but I feel like it's basically in all aspects we're seeing it. One of the huge issues to me is where we're calling the ball. If you look and you study it, and I do a little bit of work with my own players around that, about body language on looking at where they're going to jump or speed in getting ahead of them. And I just feel like our decision making around that and the speed to get up ahead of a player, if we do jump where, you know, where it is, that it's the speed to get up the ground and the aggression to get up in front of the player. I haven't seen a lot of that in, especially over in South Africa. I thought, right, this is a chance for them. They probably would have fixed, it didn't go well against Leinster. They would have had time to fix the line out, go after a couple of areas. And I didn't see any change in that. And I suppose another issue as well that I would have is changing up the pitcher. If you know, changing up, if you have to reduce it to, Quinny mightn't agree with this, but if things are going so wrong, number one is win that ball. And if you have to reduce a 4-man line out, be it, we know we like to play wide, we have strike plays off it, I understand all that, but when you're getting a 57% in a match coming off the back of another week before it, when you haven't had that ball, I think it's essential that things need to be changed around in that area and maybe just change that picture completely and what you're giving opposition.
I think launching attack off line out, and any out half or outside back would tell you, if you can win the ball in the middle of the line-out or the tail of the line-out, it's much easier to, you know, to attack. It's harder for the tail gunner in the opposition to get pressure on a 10. You have loads of options of inside passes to wingers trailing, and you get width much quicker. If you look at the last intercept try by Ruben Nell, that ball is won at the front of the line-out, and it's a long pass. And the ball is in the air a long time. So what happens, very simple terms, the opposition can charge off the line really quickly and get their line speed up. And, you know, of course, if you're winning a game and your lineout's under a bit of pressure, you always go to this, you know, we hear it a lot, why didn't they throw it to two? And that can be your safety net if you're under pressure. But if you need to launch attacks, even if there's no score in the game, ideally you want to try and win it towards the middle or tail of the lineout. And from a confidence point of view, and from an opposition confidence, they're going after Munster here. And it just looks shaky. It just looks really shaky. It looks like there's not a lot of confidence there. And there's a nervousness when Munster are getting set up for a line-out. 22 minutes gone, Munster have a kickable penalty. I thought, take the 3 points. It's 7-all. Go 10-7 up. Because it was a great response from Munster when they did give the intercept. And look, that happens. I'm not trying to say it doesn't happen. But when you look back at the end of the game and you have 14 points, I'm not sure if they got the two conversions, but there are two intercept tries there. And it gives them great momentum. Munster were on the attack for that first one. But on 22 minutes, Munster have a kickable penalty and they go to the corner. Last line out, you know. 25 minutes later, Munster have a great scrum. They have a brilliant scrum. An area that they obviously did struggle on as well, but they got one right there. It's another kickable penalty. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, kick the penalty. And I always say this as a commentator, when you make that decision of a kickable penalty and you kick to the corner, well, it's only the right decision when you score the try.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you should have taken the points. And they kicked to the corner. And what happens? Owen Clark scores a try. So credit to him for that, because that takes some balls, doesn't it? To miss the first one. And actually, you're not 10 points down here where you like you have to get a try and you're kind of saying, look, we have to take a chance here. When you're 7-all, kick the penalty away from home. But they went to the corner, lost the line-out, and it was a shambles of a line-out. It wasn't stolen. I think it was thrown out the back and mistiming a lift, all that stuff. They do it 5 minutes, you know, 3 or 4 minutes later, and Owen Clark scores. In fairness to them, they go 12-7 up. But it just looks like it's, you know, you're always going to get, you're always going to get opposition defensive players and lineouts putting pressure on you. And I know this from having lived this experience myself, always trying to, you know, figure out how do you go after the opposition lineout, watching their lineouts all week, the way players move, all that kind of stuff. So you study it hard, and everybody does that. Munster's got to work hard again and find ways. And it's down to coaching as well. Andy Kiriakou has a job in his hand to try and, you know, fix these problems as the players have. But, you know, and it sounds quite disrespectful because very few teams have a Paul O'Connell in their team, but he's at an incredible level, O'Connell, there to when he's run the lineout. I'm calling lineouts with him, and honestly, we're full of confidence back when we played. Not everybody has an O'Connell there who's just so diligent in his analysis and all that kind of stuff. So it's big pressure on Tadhg Byrne, and he's not a natural kind of line-out caller. It's a relatively new thing in the last couple of years. I'm not saying that he can't do it, but it just looks like he needs more help around him. And essentially not having Peter Mahoney in the mix, it adds another little bit of pressure, because that experience and that quality of O'Mahony jumping and being so good at getting up in the air, stealing opposition lineouts, but also winning it as well. So, yeah, they have a bit of work in their hands there, and it's an area that, you know, essentially is been costly for them at the moment. And you know, we speak about Munster's attack and the way they want to play. They lost 6 lineouts at the weekend again. It was 5 the week before, but there was 3 more that they couldn't play off against Leinster. So that was 8 lineouts. Opportunities gone. There was 6 lineouts lost to the weekend and another 2 or 3 that were unplayable. So they're up around 8 or 9 moments in a game. And you think, I go back to what I said, 21-19, you kind of think, what if? What if we won half of those 8 cleanly and had different attacks? It changes the picture for you. You know, you could be defending your own line, you win that line out. 3 phases later, you can be in the opposition 5-meter line because you've been really clinical in what you're doing. So they're so important, and it's hard. It's going to be hard this week again because, you know, you're coming up against Etzebeth. you know, the quality and the power and the physicality that they have, but the you know, so many Springboks and the Sharks team. So yeah, it's hopefully it'll galvanize them again, and you know, they're going through a tough period and it's hard. The mitigation in a lot of this as well is the injuries, and just having more quality and experience available. So yeah, it's, they have a lot of work to do this week.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the podcast in full, where we continue our discussion about last weekend's defeat and we look ahead to this week's clash with the Sharks, become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.
This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves. Gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com. With no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery, it's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.